after I met Caleb. That one incident changed everything.
Hey.
I looked up to Caleb's voice and saw that Gran was gone as well.
He's being an idiot. If the situation were reversed, I wouldn't egg him on, even if I did have a crush on the girl. It wouldn't be fair to either of them. And with the imprint being so phenomenal anyway, like this is, they wouldn't need me being an ass.
I know. I can't help but feel bad, though. And there's nothing I can do about it. I can't stand that you guys aren't friends anymore because of me.
Not your fault.
He slid his fingers over my cheek before coming to sit beside me on the chaise.
He'll get over it one day. He has to. And then we'll be friends again.
I sat up, and he automatically pulled me to sit sideways in his lap.
Maggie.
He sighed.
I don't think I can ever leave you alone again. How am I even going to finish college?
I knew he was joking, but partly serious, too. He was so angry, so scared, so guilty. I'll just have to go with you. His gaze jumped to mine.
Really? You're going to go to Tennessee with me in the fall?
Well, I still hate the idea of your family paying for it, so I'll look into student loans or whatever I have to, but yeah, I'm coming with you. His face split with a grin, and he took my mouth forcefully and gratefully. I fisted his shirt front as his arms went around me. I begged that we'd have no interruptions this time, as his skin worked like a sponge to extract all my worries and sorrows. It felt like the room took a spike in temperature. I felt too hot, but in a good way. My hand wandered to his hair, shaggy and soft. I let him devour me until I was sure I'd die of not breathing properly. I pulled back a little, but he didn't release me, just let us sit so close. Our lips almost touched, and our foreheads did. His breath was hot and intoxicating.
I'm so happy, Maggie. I hope you know that. Even with everything that's going on, I'm so happy I found you.
I'm happy, too. He leaned back a little to look at me.
Are you really going with me? Or was that just a diversion to get my mind off Kyle and Marcus?
No, I laughed. I'm really going, but that was a good idea. I should have thought of that. He tickled me in retaliation and we laughed. His lips skimmed my temple before he stood up and steadied me.
Are you good? We can wait a few more minutes if you need it. I'm sure we can find something to do.
He said with inflection and clear enjoyment. I'm fine. I feel really good, actually, between you and Gran. I'm good as new. I crooned, making him grin.
Awesome, because...
He let our lips graze.
As good as you taste, Green Eyes. I need some real food.
Ditto, I said, giggling at his lame line. He took my hand and laced our fingers, pulling me along, but then stopped.
Oh, yeah. You better call work.
Oh, crap. I forgot about that. I looked up to his face. I remembered last night talking about how he didn't think I should work today. Or ever again. Or at least that's where it seemed he was going with it. He looked at me like I might rebel and tell him to go screw himself. It was comical, actually. I giggled. Caleb, I agree with you about not working today. I'm not going to bite your head off. He looked relieved.
Good. You understand that I have to keep you safe, right? It hurts to think about you in harm. And I'm not sure I could sit here while you work today after everything that happened last night.
I understand.
Besides, you don't have to work anymore. Not only is it not safe, but I'm taking care of you now. And you'll be leaving in a few weeks for school, so you quit anyway.
Caleb, I told you I don't really feel comfortable with you paying for my stuff. I don't need you to... He cut me off with a kiss, and then spoke his words against my mouth.
In the words of some really beautiful smart girl I know, just give me what I want.
I laughed despite it all. Okay, but even though I'll call them and tell them I'm not coming in today, I can't just quit without any notice. They've been like family. I can't do that to them.
Okay.
He blew out a long breath.
We'll think of something.
He smiled reassuringly. We stepped into the kitchen and I looked around at my new family. Maria walked up to me with a plate piled high with homemade honey buns and strawberries. "You're not allergic, are you?" she asked. "Nope, I'm not allergic to anything," I said as I took the plate. "Thanks." "You're welcome. I'm allergic to kiwi, but it's okay because I don't really like kiwi anyway."
"Really?" I pulled away from Caleb and gave him a smile over my shoulder. "I love kiwi," I told her, and followed her out to the table where there was already about 10 women seated. "Hey, Maggie," Jen greeted, and I was glad. I didn't want everyone to feel weird about me because they knew what had just happened to me. I prickled as I wondered if everyone had heard me screaming. "Feeling better?"
"Yeah, thanks. Gran is a lifesaver."
"And Caleb, I would think, too," a new woman said, giggling. Other giggles erupted and Rachel covered her mouth before going on. "Now, now, leave them alone. It's been so long since we were that age, we've forgotten what it's like." "Oh, I never forgot," the woman said. "That's exactly what I'm talking about."
Everyone laughed, even me. Then they told me some stories about Caleb when he was a kid.
"So by the fifth go-around, he finally realized that I was tricking him. He was so cute, all disgruntled."
Caleb's aunt ended her story. Everyone laughed as they remembered.
"Well, I remember the time he house-sat for us and Ken charmed the houseplants before we left. Every time Caleb came around the corner, my potato vine had moved something. A chair or the palm had flipped a picture frame. It was so hilarious the first phone call we got from him."
She did her best Caleb impression.
"Aunt Margot, I think something's up with your house."
She laughed and cackled.
"He finally figured it out at some point, and when we got back, he looked at us as sternly as a 16-year-old boy can and said, 'Very funny.'"
I laughed so hard at their stories I was wiping my eyes.
"Well, Maggie, where are you going to school?"
Jen asked after everyone settled down.
I think I'm going to go to Tennessee."
There were a lot of breaths of relief, and I looked around curiously. Jen looked at me and smirked while Rachel explained.
"It's just that we're wading through uncharted waters, Maggie. Human girls are so different. Demanding and independent, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just not the way of our kind. The virtuoso have always been old-fashioned, and we were worried that you'd rebel against it all. Caleb is a good boy. Man."
She sniffled, and two ladies near her patted her hands. She laughed through her tears.
"I'm a mess. I never thought I'd see this day, and now it's here, and I can barely believe it."
I bit my lip in uncomfortable respite. She smiled at me.
"I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. I'm just so happy. And very proud of Caleb. He's handling everything so well, as are you. He'll stop at nothing to make you happy, Maggie. Know that. You don't have to worry about mundane things anymore."
I nodded in understanding and smiled at her and her aunts, nodding and beaming with pride. I broke the silence by asking about their imprints. I sat and finished my lunch with them, listening to their stories of when and how they imprinted and ascended. I was fascinated. I was sure they were sick of my questions, but they kept smiling and eagerly answered. I so enjoyed them, and no one treated me like I was a child or naive. They sympathized, they laughed, some cackled more than once. I tried to keep my gaze off Jen, knowing she wouldn't have a story to tell. But when my eyes did drift to her, she looked happy and content, with Maria seated on her lap. Eventually, the guys came out and pulled some chairs to sit around us.
"You're alive?"
Caleb jested.
"I was scared of what I'd find out here."
"Yes, I'm alive, and I've learned a whole lot," I spouted with eyebrows raised.
"Oh no, now I'm scared."
"You should be."
I leaned forward to whisper loudly, "I know about the Scooby-Doo underwear." He groaned as I laughed, and Kyle's dad, who I could never remember the name of, came over.
"Caleb, come play for us."
No, no.
He waved him off.
Yes, yes, it's been ages since you played. Come on, play while we throw the shoes.
Come on, Caleb, someone else chanted.
Fine.
He grimaced at me and leaned forward to whisper in my ear.
Guitar, and Kyle's dad's name is Max, by the way.
Then he kissed my temple and smirked at me as he took the guitar from Uncle Max and sat back in his chair. He started to play something and Max set up the horseshoes. I glanced at Caleb as I recognized the song he was playing, Fake Plastic Trees by Radiohead. He wasn't even looking at the strings while he played. He was looking at me. Then I saw Kyle coming my way, and I froze. Crap. Crap. I knew he was going to ask me to be his partner in horseshoes. I could see it on his face, and I so didn't want to have any more conflict between Caleb and Kyle. That would do it for sure. So I jumped up from my chair quickly, acting like I hadn't seen Kyle coming, who had only been about 7 feet away at the time, and made a beeline to Peter, who was leaning on the next table over, watching everyone. Hi.
Hi there,
he said easily. Do you want to be my horseshoe partner? He smiled.
An old man like me doesn't get asked that much anymore.
Aw, come on, you're not old, and I've never played before, so I'm not sure if you should play with me or run. He laughed out loud just as Kyle reached us. Dang it, he followed me over there.
Max, you want to play with me?
I think I convinced Peter to partner with me, if he's brave enough.
Oh,
Peter said, grinning as he stood and placed my hand in the crook of his arm. He walked us towards the others.
I'm brave enough, all right. But you better watch out because my wife taught me everything I know.
I laughed. Aha! Well, it's not like I could tell the difference between bad and good anyway. You're gonna have to teach me. He showed me how to line them up and how hard to toss.
So, feeling better now?
Much.
Good. I'm worried about you and Caleb. I'm still trying to figure something out for you two.
Thanks. You know, I'm not that worried, though. Caleb's pretty crafty. And it'll all work out. I know it. He nodded and smiled. I looked over to hear Maria squealing and saw an ivy vine racing across the yard towards her as she ran from it in zigzags. I looked around until I found the uncle concentrating on it. He winked and smiled at me.
I'm glad one of you is level-headed.
Peter continued, and I realized this was just a common thing with them, to use their abilities in everyday life. We played a few turns, and I actually won a few. He asked me about school and things. I told him about running track. He threw a shoe and it stopped midair. I gawked at it, but he smirked and turned around to find Rachel. She smiled.
Are you telling her that old lie about me teaching you everything I know?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
He opened his arms, and she went into them giggling in amusement. With their arms around each other, they looked back to me.
Honestly, Maggie, my wife is terrible at shoes, unless she cheats.
He said, grinning and guffawed when she playfully punched him in the stomach.
I wish it weren't true, but it is,
she admitted. So, how is our Maggie faring?
Wonderfully. She's a natural at horseshoes.
Then he cleared his throat.
That was really thoughtful, what you did, Maggie.
What?
I saw you before, and I saw Kyle making his way to you. I could practically read your thoughts as you scampered over to me.
Really? I wrinkled my nose. I wasn't trying to hurt Kyle's feelings, but he knows how to rub Caleb the wrong way, and he does it on purpose. I'm just trying to avoid conflict.
I know, and trust me. Kyle didn't see, but I did. And so did Caleb.
He nodded his head to Caleb, and I glanced over. He was looking at me with so much love in his eyes, it was terribly obvious. But I didn't care. I smiled at him and then giggled when one of Caleb's uncles grabbed my arm to drag me away for another game. I was handed off to several other uncles and cousins before it was over. One uncle, who was apparently the one to see almost a minute into the future, predicted with accuracy mine and all the other wins and losses. He even gave me some pointers before shots and told me I was literally changing my future. I really liked him. Somehow, I kept away from Kyle. He looked like he maybe caught on before it was over with, but it couldn't be helped. He leaned back in a chair and sulked openly, leaning the chair back on its hind legs. I cared more about Caleb's feelings than Kyle's, and Kyle was really pushing it lately. They were all sweet and talkative as we listened to the tinks of metal hitting metal and the strums of guitar. They told jokes and Rachel passed out lemonade. Caleb was so good, I couldn't stop my eyes from traveling to him every few seconds. And even though he played a lot of modern stuff, his family seemed to really enjoy it. I guess they just enjoyed him. It still seemed so foreign to me, to have so much family and be so close to them. Then the music stopped, and I turned to see Caleb standing behind me.
I didn't get my turn,
he said, cocky and grinning. 18. Caleb, you were so good. I didn't know you could play like that. He hugged me around the middle and grinned.
Believe it or not, there are still a few things you don't know about me.
Oh, there's lots I don't know. I linked my arms around his neck. Favorite color, favorite food, favorite band, favorite movie. Were you a band geek or a jock in high school? He smirked.
Would it matter if I was a band geek?
Absolutely not.
Well, I was a little of both, I guess. I played the drums and bass in the school jazz band and was also wide receiver on the football team.
Wow, I sighed.
What?
He laughed. You're just good at everything, aren't you? He laughed again, but I kept going as I tugged him under the tree to get out of the sun. We have guitar, piano, drums, bass, and I know I saw a trumpet on your wall, though I didn't see you actually play it. Then football, swimming, geometry, motorcycles. I mean, you are a serious overachiever. I joked as I leaned my back against the tree. He shrugged and came closer, invading my space in a way that I wanted.
What can I say? I've had a lot of spare time waiting for you.
My heart skidded, and now that I knew he felt every movement of it, I watched his face and saw him register it. His lips turned up slightly on the sides. Good answer. Add flattery to that list. I stammered as I stared at him, that dimple making me want to touch it. He laughed again and shook his head.
You are the funniest person I've ever met.
And you're the sweetest.
I'm not that sweet,
he insisted. You're a honey bun sweet, I said with an accent as sweet as syrup.
Oh?
He raised his eyebrows in mock seriousness.
That's like the ultimate compliment.
Yeah, pretty much, I said, grinning. I glanced around and saw that we were once again under the microscope of his family as they sat, played horseshoes, and talked, trying to look like they weren't watching us. Then I heard Marvin Gaye blaring through the garden. Caleb scoffed and looked over with a raised brow at someone. I followed his line of sight to a guy I hadn't talked to yet. He saluted and winked at Caleb, grinning like a fool, and I heard a lot of laughter floating around us. I realized he was using his ability somehow because the music seemed to be right in our ears, everywhere. He was trying to be funny. It was pretty funny, though. It made me blush, so I started back on topic. So, what about tonight? I have to go home at some point.
I know. I'll just come to your room again. Though I wish I could keep you here. Maybe you can say you're spending the night with your friend or something.
My phone dinged with a message. I can't believe you haven't called or texted me. I need details on you and College Boy. Is he as dreamy as he looks? How was the kiss? You did kiss him, didn't you? You better have. Come stay with me tonight. Pizza on me. Or, I had an idea and wanted to laugh at Beck's timing. I could actually spend the night with my friend. I have barely seen Beck at all lately, and she's leaving for Southern Cal U in a couple weeks. I know it sucks, us not being together, but it's not my house, at least. Marcus wouldn't know to look for me there, and I can leave first thing and come straight here to see you.
But what about sleeping? He can still come to you in your dreams.
Do you think he still would, after everything that's happened already?
I think he would now more than ever.
I sighed. I'm not a cursing person, but I was silently cursing Marcus Watson. I had wasted so much time with my best friend being selfish, and now she was leaving soon, and I was angry that I couldn't just be with my friend if I wanted to, because of some jerk with a megalomania complex. Caleb touched my cheek to bring me back to reality.
I'm so sorry. I want you to just be able to do whatever you want. Stay with your friend, work, sleep, whenever you want to. I want you to be happy, and it kills me that you're not.
I'm not unhappy, I insisted. Everything is just happening so fast. Last week, I'd never even been in a fight, let alone had enemies. Now, I have Marcus. Last week, my father didn't even speak to me, and now he waits up to make sure I made it home safe. Last week, I hadn't spoken to Beck in weeks until the other night, and now, I can't even see her. Last week, I wasn't going to college, and now I am if I can get in. Last week, I didn't know you. I felt so strange. I wanted to cry, and now I do. I just hate all the time that I wasted. And now I feel like I don't have any. I feel like I can't make any... I almost said decisions, but I knew what that word would do to Caleb, so I threw it out of my mind quickly. I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. Like everything is happening around me, and I'm just standing in the middle. His face fell, and I'd never seen someone look so guilty before. He grimaced and gripped my hips tightly.
Oh, Maggie, I never wanted this. That day that Cal said I didn't believe in all this, he wasn't lying. I did think imprinting wasn't real because I'd never seen it with my eyes. I thought it was over-exaggerated. But then it happened to me, and I was so happy. I felt complete for the first time, like I wasn't just following my parents and doing what everyone else wanted. It was finally what I wanted. And I hate, absolutely hate, that my happiness has to cause you all this trouble. I'm so sorry, Maggie. If I could take it back, I wouldn't want to, but I would if that's what you wanted. If that's what it took to give you your life back, I would go back and never have touched you.
Caleb, no, that's not what I meant at all. I'm happy. He smiled sadly and reached up to skim my cheek with his fingers.
Then why are you crying?
He asked softly. I wiped the tears away and scoffed. Hadn't even felt them before that. I'm crying because it's a lot to handle, but that doesn't mean I want to change it. I don't want that. I want you.
Only because you think I'd be dead without you there to save me. Without that, I'm sure you wouldn't want it to be like this.
He said, slightly harsh. I pushed into his mind, as was becoming more common for me. It was almost second nature to me, like it had been implanted in me along with the imprint. Maybe it had. I felt his heart beating erratically in his chest. It pulsed his sadness through my veins and choked me with it. He wanted me to be happy above all else, even at the cost of his happiness, his future, his life. I felt the tears coming fast as his remorse flooded me. It was painful to feel how upset he was, how much regret he felt for being so happy about something he thought made me so sad. I mentally shook my head. I should never have said those things to him, and I wouldn't have if I'd known he'd felt this way. Couldn't he see how I felt? That I loved him and wanted him and wouldn't go back for anything in the world, even if I knew he wouldn't die? I'd still do it all over again because I wanted him. He belonged to me and I belonged to him. I would want it. I do now. I don't want to change anything. That's just some of how I feel, not all. Why was he not able to feel what I felt for him?
Yes, I can.
He said gruffly, reading my thoughts.
But it's hurting you. This thing between us is hurting you.
He growled. Thing? I whispered and felt a ping in my gut.
Thing, I wish I'd never touched you sometimes because you would never have had to know this world even existed. You could have stayed in your pretty little bubble and never have known different.
My bubble was not pretty, Caleb, you know that. And how dare you say you wished you'd never touched me? I yelled and realized what I'd done. I lowered my voice and looked him straight in the eye. Do you really wish that?
It would make things easier.
No, it wouldn't. For you, maybe.
For you? Your world's been turned upside down, not mine. I was already stuck in the middle of all this, and now I dragged you into it, too.
If I had a choice, I would go back and do everything the same. I cut him off when I saw his protest. And not because of saving you. Because I want to. He read my mind.
Be with me? Really?
He spouted sarcastically.
I doubt that, Maggie. I've done nothing but cause you trouble from the moment I met you. You'd hate me if your body didn't force you to want me.
He said bitterly. Just like yours does with me? I countered.
Exactly.
What was he saying? Why was he all of a sudden so hell-bent on putting it out there that we shouldn't have imprinted? He regretted meeting me. That's what he was saying. For some reason, I felt like I had when Chad broke up with me. Left behind. Unwanted, not special, and naive for feeling like I was different. It was painful to fight with him, if that's even what this was, to feel his disappointment and hurt pound through my veins. It was physically painful. My heart squeezed, and not in a good way, as my blood was too hot. I leaned back against the tree to steady my legs. I heard myself whimper as my breaths pushed in and out painfully. He pulled me close and framed my face with his big hands. I would have sighed at the contact, but I was too upset, though I could feel my body's want to accept his offering of calm. It scared me because it was the very first time his touch didn't soothe me instantly.
Aw, baby.
He kissed me quickly. Keeping his face still touching mine, he continued, and I knew from his tone that he'd been reading me.
I'm so sorry. I don't want to hurt you. That's not what I meant. I want you. I've never wanted anything more than you. You're everything to me, and I just need you to be happy. I'm going to do everything I can to see that you are. I just feel responsible for you, and it kills me that this has been forced on you, but I'm so sorry. I take back everything I said. I'm an idiot, okay? Please, don't think that I regret one second of waiting for you.
He moved his thumbs to wipe my tears away, and I finally felt some of the calm seep into me. He watched me. His blue eyes looked so close to swimming, and his expression was sorry, and he wondered if he should just shut up or try to apologize again. He couldn't stand the thought that he had hurt me.
I'm sorry. Baby, please say something.
He pleaded anxiously. I think I like it when you call me baby, just as much as I like sweetheart. He gave a surprised laugh.
Maggie, you don't have to do that. You can be mad at me. You can yell at me if it would make you feel better.
It wouldn't. Besides, it hurts to fight with you.
It's because we aren't meant to. Like everything else, it'll get easier. You'll be fighting with me like a pro in no time.
He said, joking. But his expression was somber. I don't want to fight. I don't want to doubt. Look, even though I can read your feelings for me, sometimes I just feel so unworthy. He started to interrupt, but I pressed my fingers to his lips. After everything that's happened to me in the past year, it's not easy to just know for certain that everything is as good as it seems. I'm sorry too, okay? Will you please not doubt how I feel about you? I want this. I want you. I wouldn't change anything. You said I was everything, but you're everything to me. I promise not to doubt you again, okay? Please, promise. He smiled against my fingers and pulled my hand down.
Promise. But you do know, right? How I feel about you is, you're so funny and amazing and sweet and beautiful. I was half a person before you. You make me feel like everything in my life has been for a reason. I'm just happy that
I stopped him with a kiss because I knew and didn't need to hear it. I felt him chuckle as he pressed closer, pinning me against the tree, my hands on his chest in between us. His lips took away everything. Every second of hurt or doubt in the past 15 minutes was now a distant memory. I could hear his family around us again. It was strange that I'd completely forgotten where we were, and that we weren't alone, and now their voices seemed to float back to us. I pulled back from Caleb a little, and he pressed his forehead to mine to keep the contact. I could feel that he'd been hurting just as much as I had about our fight, about everything lately. I needed to touch me, so I let him.
"You're so amazing,"
he murmured.
"I'm sorry. I can't say I'm sorry enough."
I nodded, and we just stood, sharing breath and letting our touch soothe us as he kept murmuring things to me. I turned my head to look at his family. No one seemed overly worried about us, except Kyle, who was glowering, but I almost expected that now from him. Then Caleb turned my face back to look at him.
"I have an idea. Why don't you go to your friend's house, right now?"
I don't know. Are you trying to get rid of me?" I joked.
"Absolutely not. But that way, you'll see her now and then go home to sleep and I can be with you. This way, I won't go crazy worrying about you."
"Yeah. Okay."
"Are you okay now? Really?"
he asked sincerely. "Of course," I insisted. "I think you could cure just about anything." He chuckled bashfully, which was so freaking cute.
"Are you sure you feel okay?"
His hands coasted down my arms.
"You still feel a little warm."
"Yeah." I did feel warm, and my throat hurt slightly, but I felt good enough. "I'm fine."
"Man, I wish we were ascended already, then I could heal you."
He sighed.
"Okay, well, come on. Tell everyone goodbye, and I'll give you a ride over there."
He held my hand tight, even as I hugged his aunts and uncles, his parents. He wasn't looking forward to being without me at all today, and was now willingly taking me to my friends to leave me there. For me, so I could see her. It was not something he wanted to do at all. He was worried about Marcus still. They'd try even harder to get to me. Kyle hugged me and told me about 4 times how happy he was that I was okay, and if I needed anything to call him. That he wished I'd stay there and not go home. That it wasn't safe for me. Caleb seethed beside me, and I peeked back and couldn't help but want to giggle. In his mind, he thought Kyle was trying to take his place, that Kyle had no right to worry over me, and I agreed, but it was still slightly comical that they were silently fighting over me. I never, ever in my life thought I'd be fought over before by anyone. And with Chad the other night, too, I was just blown away. It wasn't as appealing as everyone made it sound. Caleb took me to the garage, and after the helmet was on and I was behind him, he started it up and asked me which way to go. I explained the directions and he drove slowly through town to her house. When we pulled up, Rebecca was just getting out of her little black Dodge Neon. She put a hand over her eyes to shield the sun and looked at us curiously. When Caleb helped me off the bike and took off my helmet, she squealed and ran to me. Her bag slung over her shoulder banged me in the back as she grabbed me in a hug like she hadn't seen me in a year.
"Magpie, you came!"
She pulled back to look at me, her face open wide with a smile, and then she saw Caleb and her grin turn saucy.
"And you brought dessert."
"Back!" I chastised but heard Caleb chuckle behind me.
"Since when do you ride a motorcycle?"
she asked me. I told her the same thing as Chad. "Since Caleb drives one."
"Oh, good answer. Hi, Caleb," she said all sultry, and I almost wanted to smack her.
"Hey,"
he answered, as I pulled myself from her grasp to step back. I grabbed his hand to try to fill myself with his touch before he left. He squeezed my hand and smiled at me knowingly.
"So, you came to stay with me? Where's your stuff?"
she asked. "I'm not staying the night. I figured we could just hang out for a while."
"Okay, I'll go call for pizza. Caleb, are you staying?"
"Nope, I'm gonna head out, but thanks,"
he answered, and as soon as she was inside, he smiled crookedly, his hand wrapped around the back of my neck. He pulled my face to his and kissed me deeply and slowly. It was possibly the sexiest kiss I'd ever had. The few kisses we had already were desperate and needy. This was full of love and sweetness. He pulled me closer with his hand on my hip and continued to let his lips take me over. He began to playfully nip and peck my lips. I laughed into our kiss before he eventually broke it gently. "Are you trying to persuade me not to go?" I asked, panting.
"Is it working?"
he whispered against my lips. I smiled. "So I'll get Beck to drive me home later. You'll come, right?"
"Of course. Why don't you text me and let me know when you're home?"
"Okay." I kissed his dimple quickly. "Bye."
"Bye."
I turned, but couldn't step. I turned back to look at him, and he knew.
"So, it's you again this time."
He smirked. "Shut up." I laughed.
"Go inside and have fun with your friend, Maggie. Then call me and I'll see you tonight."
"Okay."
"Oh, and leave your mind open to me. I need to know what's going on with you, okay? I know."
He held up his hands in acceptance.
"Tyrant, but after everything that's happened, I need it, Maggie."
"It's okay. I'd feel better like that anyway. Just don't listen to what I say about you." I jested.
"Never."
He grabbed my face gently and I felt him pushing in my mind, so I pushed into his. We'd only done this once before with totality. It was so intense, how I could feel everything in him, just like it wasn't me. It wasn't like normal, just picking up bits and pieces, and his heartbeat never left me when we were like this. This was everything.
"Okay, now, just keep the connection open, and I'll see you tonight."
"Okay." I smiled up at him. "Bye. For real." He waited until I was inside before leaving, and as soon as I turned the corner, Beck grabbed me by the shoulders.
"Holy cow, Mags.
What was that?"
"What?" "That. That wasn't just a kiss. That was a something that is not just a kiss-kiss."
"What? I can't kiss the guy I'm dating?"
"You're dating him?"
she exclaimed.
"Yeah. What did you think I was doing?"
"Trying to piss off Chad,"
she said matter-of-factly.
"No. Why would I do that?"
"Because he's still in love with you. He was livid at Pablo's. Livid. And I know you said nothing was going on with you and Kyle, but I just thought maybe, somewhere in your brain, you were trying to make Chad jealous. I saw him grab you up after graduation like nothing had happened. Like he hadn't dumped you. Jerk."
"No, absolutely not. I really like Caleb. This has nothing to do with Chad."
"Really?"
"Yes, really." I followed her into her kitchen and she began to pour some diet cream soda into glasses. "But Chad came over the other night." She gasped and spilled some soda on the counter.
"What? He did?
Oh my gosh. What did he say?" She spouted in a flurry. "That he wanted us to get back together," I admitted softly.
"Aw, oh, Mags, you have guys fighting over you. So sweet," she crooned.
I hopped up on the countertop. "It's not sweet. It was sad. He waited on my front steps for me, and when I pulled up on Caleb's motorcycle, he was so angry. He said he wanted to talk alone, so Caleb left. Then he told me he made a mistake and wanted us back together."
"Wow."
"Yeah, I was pretty shocked. So I told him I was with Caleb, and he said Caleb didn't know me like him, that he knew every time I'd ever been sick, that he knew all my broken bones, and Caleb knew nothing about me."
"Wow, Mags. If this wasn't Chad we were talking about, I'd ask for his number. How romantic is he? Where was all that when you guys were dating?"
"I know. I told him that after he kissed me." She gasped again. "Yeah, he kissed me, like he's never kissed me before. It was all tongues and hands and, well, it would have been something if we were still dating. I told him that. I said, if you had kissed me like that when we were still dating, maybe we'd still be together."
"Holy cow, You're so lucky.
What? Why? I asked. Sometimes it was hard to keep up with her demented logic.
Because having guys fight over you is hot.
No, it's not, I insisted. It sucks. Why now? Because he was jealous? Because he finally decided he didn't want to go to college alone? Why? Why didn't he do this before I met Caleb?
But then, I wouldn't have met him, Beck.
And I would take anything that happened to me all over again to meet Caleb like I did because... She gaped at me. Her glass rolled with condensation in her hand. At first her expression was laced with unbelief and then worry and then realization.
Okay, Maggie, listen. I really like Caleb. He's hot, but are you sure he's not just some college boy trying to get some booty before he goes back to school?
No, he's not.
But how do you know? Boys can be very charming, Max. Very believable.
Caleb isn't like that. I know it's only been a few days, but you just don't understand. Trust me, that won't happen.
So he hasn't tried to play shifty fingers with you yet, or oops, my hand slipped onto your boob, or I have no idea why my hand is there, it just had a mind of its own. But since it's there, let's have a go.
No, I said, bemused.
Really? Every college guy I've ever met was like that.
I told you, Caleb is different.
He's never copped a feel, she said incredulously. Even a little?
No, I laughed. Geez, can we talk about something else?
Has he tried to take you to a party yet?
No.
Well, he will, and that's where he'll make his move.
Okay, Beck, I'll be on my guard.
Now,
tell me what's going on with you.
Oh, nothing but the normal.
The doorbell rang and she ran to answer it. She came back with two boxes. Beck, who else are you feeding?
No one, but I've got lots of questions, and I want to keep you plastered with cheese to keep you talking. I laughed as I followed her to the living room. She turned on her iPod and then sat with me on the couch.
Where are your parents? I asked.
Oh, they're at this charity thing for the school. They've decided to sponsor a student. You know, school supplies, new clothes, football dues.
That's nice of them.
Yeah, whatever. So,
she bit into a huge piece and the cheese stringed from her mouth, but she kept talking.
What are you going to do when Loverboy goes back to school?
Well, I'm going too.
What?
I thought you weren't going to college. I thought you couldn't get in. I couldn't, but Caleb's family has ties to the school, Tennessee, so I'm going.
Oh, he definitely wants in your pants, she said with surety.
Beck, he may want in my pants. In fact, I'm sure all boys want into the girl's pants that they're dating. But that's not why he's doing this. I felt a little burst of laughter in my mind. It was warm and made me giddy. At first I was confused, but then I felt him. Felt him like he was standing right next to me. Caleb was here in my mind, and he was enjoying the conversation. I tried to send him a thought to see if it'd work. Are you enjoying this?
Immensely, but don't worry. I'm only checking in, not listening to everything.
I hid a laugh and tried to forget he was here so I'd be normal with Beck.
Then why? You barely know him, it's creepy.
She continued. I thought you would love this for some reason. It's so spontaneous and romantic.
Yeah, for me, not you. You're so responsible and a little naive and sweet and responsible. You don't do things like this. It's scaring me a little.
It's fine. Hey, why don't we all go out? And then you can grill him yourself. Double date?
Okay, best idea so far. When?
She spouted all motherly. What about tomorrow night? I get off at 7 so we can meet at 8. I'll ask Caleb if he's okay with that.
But what about the farewell party at the school? That's tomorrow night at 8. Aren't you going?
I wasn't planning on it. I'd forgotten, actually. I grumbled. We'll see. So I guess we can all go out the next night, then.
I'll spy who I can wrangle up to be my date.
What about Ralph? He was really into you. You guys went out a few times.
Yeah, not now, but his name is Ralph.
She whined.
Oh, come on, Beck. You are not that shallow.
I could be. Okay, fine. I'll text Ralph. He is pretty cute. Maybe I'll see what his middle name is. I bet he'd let me call him that instead.
I rolled my eyes at her, and then her iPod changed songs to Relator by Pete Yorn and Scarlett Johansson. She squealed, as this was our song. Well, it was her song, and I played along. She pulled me up and bounced and danced with me as she sang loudly. I laughed, missing her terribly. We shook our fingers as we sang like we were scolding someone, then lined our backs up and danced some more. Then her parents walked in. 19.
Maggie, Rebecca.
Her father stated after Beck ran to turn down the music. He was clearly amused and trying to hide it.
I'm glad to see you two hanging out again.
Hey, Mr. T, I said as I went to hug him. They were the sweetest people. And their name was Thompson, so I called them Mr. and Mrs. T. He loved it because of the joke. They always let me crash here, especially right after my mom left. And even though Beck was spoiled rotten, they were still really good to her and everyone else. Long time no see.
Yeah.
He hugged me tightly and then released me to snag a piece of pizza.
They feed us like birds at those things. So, Maggie, what have you been up to? Haven't seen you around much lately. We thought Rebecca had chased you off for good.
Yeah. Mrs. T chimed as she too lifted a piece of pizza from the box. We missed you. No, she couldn't chase me off. I haven't been doing much, just working mostly.
And going out with a totally hot new guy?
Beck blurted. There was no point in trying to stop her. Her parents were as bad as she was.
Really?
He asked in a fake girly accent.
Do tell.
Mrs. T and I laughed, but Beck did not. Daddy, ew. But she was over it quickly and threw her arm over my shoulder. So, yes, our little Maggie bagged herself a college boy.
Really?
His brow furrowed in concern. As cool as they wanted to seem, they were still parents.
Now, Maggie, I'd be careful with this boy. Once guys leave high school, everything changes. I remember college, when I met the wife, and I wasn't exactly noble.
Honey, no, not appropriate, Mrs. T insisted. I'm careful, don't worry. I assured them. He's really nice and has already met my dad.
And how is your father?
He asked sincerely. Much better.
Okay, good. Well, we'll let you girls get back to it.
He went to Beck to kiss her forehead, and then they made their way out but stopped at the door.
Make sure you come back, Maggie. We miss you around here, definitely not loud enough.
I smiled. Okay.
Okay, so.
Beck went right back to scheming. Stay with me tonight. You can wear something of mine. Can't. Have to work tomorrow.
You don't go in until later. Stay.
I can't. I thought hard for an excuse, but Caleb saved me.
Tell her your dad is really strict lately, which isn't a lie. I can also feel your fever. That you don't feel too good. You okay?
Yeah, just tired. I'll take some Tylenol for the fever. I'm okay. Dad's kind of gotten over his funk. He's really been on my case lately.
Really? Well, that's good, I guess. Okay, well, it's okay. I'll see you tomorrow night anyway, right?
Maybe.
Come,
she commanded. I stayed for a couple more hours. We watched a wannabe scary movie in her mini theater in her basement about a girl who was stalked because she answered a phone call or something. It was strange, but Beck was appropriately girly and screamed and gasped at all the right moments. I just wanted to laugh, but Beck loved these girly, scary but not scary movies. It was no Poltergeist. After that, it started to get dark, so Beck took me home. I told her I was excited about the next night, which was a lie. I was so not excited. But I knew that she would love Caleb once she got to know him and wouldn't think he was just some hot guy trying to steal my virtue and then skip back to college. I'm home. I sent him the message as I opened my front door. Dad was just then taking off his boots by the hall closet.
See you soon.
Hey, Dad. How's work?
Good. Great, actually. I got promoted.
What?
awesome. What happened? I came to stand by him and tried to ignore the boot odor.
Well, I saved a load of wood today from being destroyed by the new guy. He was an inch away from messing up the whole load and possibly cutting his arm off, and I stopped him, right in front of the boss. So, I got promoted to General Overseer because he said I had an eye for these things.
I smiled at him as he beamed. I hadn't seen him so happy in a very long time.
So, I'm salary now and even get off an hour early every day.
Dad, that's so great.
Thanks, kiddo. Did you eat?
Yeah, Beck filled me with cheese pizza. You want me to fix you something?
No, I'll make a sandwich. I'm pretty beat, so I'm gonna eat and go to bed, I think. You okay?
Yeah, I'm gonna go to bed, too.
All right.
He stood and stretched his back, then yawned.
Well, good night.
Night, Dad. I went straight to the shower. I didn't bring any clothes with me, thought I'd have enough time to change before Caleb got there. So I wrapped the towel around me and went to my room, and found Caleb sitting on my bed. I felt his instant desire and longing engulf me, so I grabbed some clothes, wordlessly, from my dresser, and went into the closet to get dressed quickly. While at Kyle's, I'd learned a few things, like Caleb being so completely in tune with me and feeling everything I felt. He was hurting, right along with me, with the offense mark removal, and I never wanted to cause him pain again. Even if it was the uncomfortable kind from seeing me almost naked and his body responding, making him need me in ways that we weren't ready for yet. Well, I wasn't. When I came out, he was still sitting there. I didn't want to make things harder for him, seeing as how everything was so much more intense for him than me, which still didn't seem possible, but there it was. Right there in my head, how conflicted he was, and how much he wanted me. How much his body told him to have me. I sat on the bed next to him and leaned my head on his shoulder. I laced our fingers, letting our touch cure my aches. Hey.
Hey.
He answered.
You're getting really good at reading me.
Well, your mind was wide open.
Yeah, if you had come over here with that towel on.
I laughed and snuggled closer.
You're still warm, Maggie.
He placed a hand on my forehead, then my cheek.
Where's the medicine cabinet?
In my bathroom. I yawned. My dad's room is downstairs, so he shouldn't be up here. He nodded and peeked out the door before disappearing and reappearing a minute later.
Here, take these.
He handed me a couple pills with a glass of water. I took them and lay down on top of the covers. Wow. I hadn't realized how bad I felt until right then.
Need anything else?
Just you. I said groggily and beckoned him to me. He lay down beside me to face me and played with my fingers on the pillow. I put my hand on his cheek, letting my fingers smooth over his dimple. So, there's this thing at the school tomorrow, a party for the graduated seniors. I hadn't planned on going, but Beck begged me, so... But? I don't want to go.
So don't go.
But I promised.
So go,
he said, grinning. Will you come with me?
Of course I'm coming with you,
he scoffed. We don't have to go, I reasoned.
Yeah, sure we do.
His smile was wry as he rubbed his chin.
You, gonna be okay with introducing me to your friends?
Hmm? That was debatable. We'll find out.
Ashamed of me already?
He joked. No, of course not. I just don't want to try to explain how I just met you a few days ago and can't stop looking at you with googly eyes. He chuckled softly.
Googly eyes.
He echoed and nodded.
Okay, sure. We can go, if you feel better.
He cleared his throat.
Are you working tomorrow?
Yes.
Well, the tyrant is going to sit in the back booth, okay?
For 8 hours? I asked incredulously.
It doesn't matter.
He sighed and sucked his lip in and out.
You're in my mind right now. Can't you see how it literally hurts me to even think about you in danger? Just letting you go to Beck's was hard, but your work is...
He shook his head,
When we went to the Watson compound, we found out who the Echoling was and what they had planned. Marcus and his uncle planned to kidnap you and take you somewhere locked up where it would take me a very long time to find you. We'd both be in agony in just a day or two. They want to take you from me, so neither of us will ascend. You see why I'm freaking? They know where you live. They know where you work. They knew I was going to be with my father that night. It's too risky, and I'm sorry if you feel like I'm going overboard, but I have to keep you safe. If you feel like you have to give notice before you quit, then that's fine, but I've got to be there with you. I'm sorry.
I sighed, knowing what he was saying was true. Marcus had told me that himself. I know. Marcus told me once in a dream that's what he wanted to do.
He did. You didn't tell me that.
I forgot. It was always so stressful after I woke up. I understand, okay? I'll tell Big John something. That I'm in trouble or something. He won't care about you being there. But what are you going to do sitting back there all day?
I have a couple papers due and a book list to read before school starts. I'll have plenty to do, and I've been dreading it because none of it has to do with geometry.
He said and smirked. Okay, if you're sure. Now I feel bad. I groaned. I don't want you to sit there bored all day because of me.
It's okay, really. The only way I'm going to get all this work done anyway is if you're busy. Otherwise, I'll just be distracted.
He said gruffly and leaned forward to kiss my chin. Oh, we wouldn't want that, I said with mock sincerity.
No, definitely not.
I giggled as he kissed me and wrestled me under him. He tickled my sides and kissed under my chin at the same time. It was torture in every good sense. But when I reached my hand under his shirt to tickle his ribs, I learned that boys can be more ticklish than girls. He jerked so quickly and laughed trying to squirm away, but I held on, and he retaliated with gusto. I'd forgotten about Dad. I heard his footsteps up the stairs and thought quickly. Caleb looked at me with worry, his mind racing to whether he should bolt out the window or jump in the closet.
Beck, shut up! I can't believe you!
I yelled playfully, pretending to be on the phone. Miraculously, I heard his footsteps stop and recede. We both sighed and chuckled softly in relief into each other's shoulders. I was glad because my eyelids were fighting with me anyway. We called a truce, and I reached down and pulled the blanket over us from the foot of the bed. He then rolled me over to put my back to him as he wrapped his arms around me. I sighed at the warmth and comfort. I nestled my back and bottom in closer. He pulled my hair behind me and to the side. Then he placed a kiss on the back of my neck.
Sleep. Feel better tomorrow.
Okay, I muttered, as I did what I was told.
Wake up.
Someone shook me.
You've got to get up, baby. You're going to be late.
What? I opened my eyes to see Caleb looking concerned.
It's after 10 o'clock. You better get up. Or maybe you should stay home. Do you feel better?
He touched my forehead. After 10 o'clock? Geez, I thought I set my alarm. I groaned.
You did. I've been trying to get you up for 15 minutes. Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I am. And I did. Sleeping with him was the best medicine. Did you sleep well?
I always sleep best with you.
He said sweetly, pulled me closer and kissed the top of my head. You're right. I've got to get up. I pulled from his grasp and was rewarded with a groan from him that made me turn to hide my smile. I can't believe your parents condone you sneaking into some girl's window.
You're not some girl.
He corrected. I know. I smiled. It's just strange.
Well, my mom doesn't condone it at all. She's conflicted about the whole thing. She understands why we have to do it, but doesn't like it. She thinks it's all very scandalous.
I laughed and sat beside him on the bed. Well, she's kind of right.
You don't like me sneaking into your window all romantic-like?
He asked and leaned close, his nose almost touching mine. I do like it, but it would be better if we didn't have to sneak, you know?
Yeah, I know.
He leaned back a little and pushed my hair behind my ear.
But it's necessary. You're not upset about it, are you? I would never do something like this if it wasn't about your safety. I'm not one of those guys.
I know that, and I know it's only temporary. We'll figure it all out soon. He nodded.
I'm sorry.
It's fine, Caleb. I'm not upset, I promise. I leaned the few inches between us and rubbed his nose with mine. It's very sweet, the things you do for me.
Yeah, because sleeping with you is torture.
He said sarcastically and kissed the end of my nose.
Okay, well, I'm gonna get out of here and then come pick you up at the door. I'll tell your dad I'm driving you to work today.
Okay. He got up and I saw he was in his clothes from yesterday still. He must have seen me looking at him because he looked down at himself too.
Oh, yeah. Let me run to my uncle's and I'll be back to take you to work.
He picked up his book bag, slinging it over his shoulder, and turned to look at me.
Don't leave until I get here, okay? I'll be right back.
Okay. I'll wait. Hurry.
Okay.
He kissed me on the cheek and then looked at me imploringly. I laughed. I love it when it's you. I giggled at his expression. Go to your uncle's and do what you need to do. Hurry back and I'll be waiting for you.
Thank you, baby.
He murmured sweetly. He kissed my lips quickly before opening and sliding out the window. I turned and got dressed as fast as I could, running to the bathroom and fixing my hair and slicking on a little makeup. I thought about what to tell my boss when I gave him my notice today. They'd been so good to me, and I hated having to leave them, but if I was going to college, it would happen soon anyway. It took me about 20 minutes to get ready, and I only had 15 minutes left until I was late for work. I was about to run downstairs when I heard Dad yelling for me.
Maggie? Caleb is here.
Coming. I checked my hair once more in the mirror and then ran downstairs. I hadn't thought about Caleb not seeing me in my uniform. It was just a uniform, after all, but by the way he was looking at me when I came down, he apparently thought differently.
Holy hell.
I gasped inwardly at his thoughts and looked down at my outfit. It was a little short, as I said, but I had footless tights on underneath. It was white, as were the tights, and it buttoned all the way up with a little open collar and a little belt around the waist and a black half apron. I looked back at him curiously and quirked a brow.
You apparently don't see what I see. You work in that thing and you don't get asked out every 5 minutes? That's a bold-faced lie.
I giggled out loud and Dad looked at me.
Something funny?
He asked, all cocked-browed. Nothing. Caleb and I are going to the farewell party at the school tonight, so I won't be here for dinner, okay?
Okay, you know the rules. Before midnight.
Yes, Dad, I know. I hugged him and he seemed surprised by it, leaning back to look at me with a half-smile. He cleared his throat.
Okay, well, have fun. And be careful. Caleb, you remember what I said about that bike?
Yes, sir. Helmet, speed limit, careful. Promise.
All right. See you later.
Bye, Dad. I grabbed Caleb's hand to pull him with me. Good luck on your first day with your promotion.
Thanks, Mags.
Dad said softly, and I looked over my shoulder to see him looking sad and conflicted. I turned to Caleb, and even though I knew I was going to be late, I had to see what put that look on my dad's face. But before I could ask Caleb, he answered me.
Go ahead. I'll wait at the bike.
Thank you. I walked slowly over to Dad as he sat on the bottom step of the stairs. I always loved these stairs when I was a kid. The carpet was plush and soft, almost baby blue in color, which is my favorite. I used to slide down on my belly all the way down from top to bottom, until my stomach was red and sore, but I just kept doing it. I sat on the step beside him and sighed as I lay my head on his shoulder. What's up, Dad?
Nothing.
Liar. I chimed sweetly, and he laughed. He sighed heavily, loaded with something he didn't want to talk about.
I got a call from your mom.
20. My heart jolted at his words. What?
She called me late last night crying. She wants to come home,
he said somberly. I was confused. I thought he'd be happy. All that stuff he'd spouted to me about us not loving her enough, taking advantage of her. I thought he'd be thrilled if she ever decided to crawl back. And what did you say? I asked softly, my voice not even sounding like my own. I saw Caleb come peek anxiously through the open door, no doubt feeling my crazy heartbeat, and I smiled at him and waved him off.
I told her. Baby, I'm sorry. I told her no.
He creaked and looked on the brink of tears. I hugged him, my words muffled into his shoulder. Why? Why did you say that, and why are you so upset about it?
Because I know you need her. I should be able to just let her come home for you, but I can't. She was furious. She thought I'd just let her come home and everything would be fine without even being sorry. Pick up right where she left off. You were right. She was being selfish. She chose to leave. We didn't do anything wrong. We were a good family, and she decided to just leave all that behind for God knows why. I forgive her for what she did, but she deserted you and needs to accept her consequences. I'm sorry.
Dad, I don't want her to come back.
What?
He turned to look full at me.
I thought you'd be angry at me. I thought you'd blame me for keeping her away.
What for? She didn't just leave me, Dad. She left you, too. And I know she's my mom, but she left, and I agree with you. She needs to deal with the consequences. She made her bed, and she can sleep in it. Nowhere does it say in the family handbook that when someone leaves and wants to come back without reason or sincere apology that you have to let them. It just says that you have to love them. And I do love her still, and I'd be her neighbor any day. But it wouldn't be right for her to live with you just for me. She betrayed you more than me.
But you forgave me.
Yes, and I forgive her too, but she shouldn't live here, Dad. She said you held her back. She's been living with other men. It wouldn't be...
She would?
Crap, he hadn't known that. I bit my lip. She told me she was dating. She talked about a few of them.
A few of them?
He laughed a bark of a humorless laugh.
Well, I guess I made the right decision then. I told her she couldn't come back to stay with us, and she shouldn't come see you without calling you first.
Very smooth, Dad. Way to handle things.
How'd you get so smart?
He smirked, but sadly. I learned. From my old man. I joked and bumped him with my shoulder. You did the right thing. I don't know what happened to her, but you are way too good for her to do this to you. He laughed.
All right, kiddo. You're late now. I'm sorry. I'm fine. Get going.
No worries, Dad. I kissed his cheek and he hugged me before standing.
Well, have fun tonight.
I will. Bye. I went out to meet Caleb and he still looked a little worried but smiled sadly at me.
You okay?
You heard? He nodded. Yeah, I'm fine. I just can't believe she'd do this to him after being gone almost a year, I said vehemently. She's so selfish.
I'm sorry, but I think your dad did the right thing.
Me too. I just hate that he has to go through this again. He's been through so much this year. He's just now starting to be normal.
I know.
He hugged me around my middle.
You want to stay here with him instead of going to work?
Nuh-uh, he's fine. I just hope she doesn't try to come here or anything. I glanced at Caleb's watch. Dang it, I'm so late. You might not have to worry about my quitting. I might get fired if I keep this up. I put my helmet on and he buckled it for me.
Well, let's go then. I'd hate to not see you in action in that outfit.
Hey! I smacked his back playfully as I climbed on behind him. I don't get it. Why do you like it? He shrugged, and I could literally feel his attraction.
What's not to like? It's hot.
I just rolled my eyes and hugged him close from behind as he cranked it up, and we drove to the diner. When we pulled up, we got off the bike and he dragged his bag out of the back compartment. I took my helmet off and shook out my hair before twisting it into a messy updo. Caleb turned to see me and groaned.
Oh, Maggie, you are making my fantasy so much worse.
All right, you. I laughed. Get a hold of yourself,
I said in as low a voice as I could muster, and pulled him down to kiss me. It wasn't long before I had the urge to glance inside. I then had a slight moment of panic. Number one, Big John was walking out the door with a meat cleaver gleaming in his hand. Yes, a meat cleaver. Number two, he was glaring at Caleb like he was the devil himself.
Maggie, get your butt in this diner right now,
he commanded. Big John, this is Caleb. I'm sorry I'm late.
Get inside, Maggie. I'll handle this.
He came to stand in front of us.
You, what do you think you're doing with my little girl, huh? She's only 17, and I won't have you riding in here on your hog all smooth and messing with my girl.
Hog? I asked, and he pinned his glare on me.
I thought I told you to go inside.
BJ, I positioned myself in between him and Caleb. I told you, this is Caleb. He's my... Dang it. I still didn't know what to call him.
I'm her boyfriend, sir.
Caleb extended his hand, but Big John just continued to glare, ignoring the hand.
It's nice to meet you. I've heard a lot about you from Maggie. Oh, is that right? Boyfriend. You mean dead man. I know your type, okay? I used to be your type. You think you can trick a pretty little girl into giving you the goods and then skip town?
Big John, ew! Enough, look, Caleb is a nice guy. I'm sorry if you think he's a bad influence on me because I wasn't here yesterday, and I'm late today, but there's a lot of stuff going on right now, stuff you don't know. Can you lower the cleaver, please? He huffed and crossed his arms with it instead.
What things?
His brow drew together, and then it turned to rage.
Oh, my Lord, Maggie, are you pregnant? I'll kill you.
He lunged for Caleb, and I pushed him back with me. Caleb was confused. He thought meeting my dad was going to be bad, and it had been cake compared to this. Of course I'm not pregnant. I'm being stalked, I blurted. Big John stopped and looked sharply at me. There's this guy who's been after me. Caleb's been watching out for me, making sure I'm safe.
What? Who? Give me his address. I'll end this right now.
It's not that simple. I don't know where he lives or anything about him, really. Just that he tried to kidnap me the other night, and Caleb stopped him. He saved me. Big John glanced at Caleb with new eyes and tucked the cleaver in his apron like that helped.
All right. Thank you. Maggie is like a daughter to me. Get inside, you two. Come on.
We followed him in, and Caleb whispered in my ear from behind.
What in the...
Honey? Smarty yelled. Oh, my goodness. I thought he was going to kill your biker friend.
Me too,
Caleb muttered.
Well, it's okay now, Smarty. This is Caleb. Caleb, Smarty, and Mina Bina. Nice to meet you, ladies,
Caleb said, and it was hard to stifle the giggle at the look they got on their faces. I wasn't the only one affected by his charm.
Okay.
He thumped my name tag and smiled.
Sweet pea, I'll get out of your way and go park it in the back booth.
He kissed my upturned lips softly and quickly. I heard a soft gasp and an angry grunt behind me.
Pretend I'm not here.
That's not possible, I said breathlessly, making him smirk as he walked away. Details. Now, Mina ordered. That's Caleb, I said aloofly as I started to stack napkins. Yeah, we gathered that. And is he your man? Yes, I said and heard the smile creep in. Oh, yay, he's so cute, honey, Smarty chimed. I know. I'm sorry I'm late. I had a problem with my dad, but Caleb's going to sit in the back while I work because someone's stalking me. Caleb saved my life. Ah, how romantic, Mina said as she clutched her chest. Which one? Smarty asked dryly. The stalker or the saving her? Both. Smarty and I both groaned at her as she bounced away. I have more bad news, I confessed. I'm officially given my 2-week notice. She sighed. I knew this day would come. Big John!
Yeah?
He said, and came around the grill. Our girl is quitting.
What for?
He asked, and I could hear the hurt. I'm leaving for college soon. Caleb's father helped me, and I can go to school in the fall, so I'm going. Plus, with this whole stalker thing, it'd be one less thing to worry about. I'm sorry. I'm gonna miss you guys so much. I hugged him around his middle. You've been so good to me. He hugged me back with gusto.
I'm gonna miss you something awful, girl.
Me too, Smarty said and wiped her eyes.
You sure it's not this boy? He's not gotten you mixed up into something, has he? Not taking advantage of you?
No, I promise.
Okay, well then, you get your butt to work then, if I only got you for 2 more weeks.
He said gruffly and cleared his throat. I laughed and pulled away from him, wiping my eyes too. Okay, thanks. I took my first table and kept glancing at Caleb. He wasn't getting much work done back there because he was watching my every move with eager eyes. One table was a group of guys there vacationing from Michigan to see the mountains. They flirted with me, but I remained politely obtuse as I usually did. I looked at Caleb on the way to place their order and saw him with his head propped up on his fist. His lips were twisted in irritation and his leg was bouncing under the table. It's just boys. Don't get all worked up, you know. You're not getting much work done back there.
It's driving me insane how incredibly hot you look. Plus, it's ingrained in me to want to pummel those guys for even looking at you. I can't help it.
Well, I'm sorry, but I can't help how I look, I said and sent a laugh with it.
Very true. Okay, gorgeous. I'll get to work, but can you tone it down just a little bit?
You are insane. I looked to see him grinning at me. I grinned back and then got back to work. He stood by a statement, and the next few times I glanced, he was going through his books and writing. It went by slowly but steady. I told Smarty all about Caleb, how we met, how he was incredibly sweet and careful with me. She said she was happy for me, and that he was extremely cute. We talked about college and my dad a little bit in between tables. I told her about my mom, too, and how she had called and wanted to come home, and my dad had said no. She listened and sympathized, but in the end, did what she always did. She was an awesome listener, but never told me what to do. She didn't make suggestions or criticize. She just listened, and I loved her for it. When it was time for my break, I sat with Caleb and brought him some sweet tea and a cheesy bacon burger with fries.
Where'd you get this bracelet?
He asked as he fingered the star charm. They gave it to me. I hooked my thumb over my shoulder towards the grill. For graduation. He nodded. What did Kyle get for a graduation present?
A car.
I thought he already had a car.
He did, but his parents got him a new one. The first one was used. The silver Audi is his.
I balked. What? I thought that was his dad's car.
Nope. Kyle just thought his car was messed up and in the shop. His dad actually pulled the battery cables off before school one morning, so Kyle would think it was broken down.
He chuckled. Wow, that Audi was pretty nice for a college kid.
He's spoiled, only child.
He scoffed. I smirked at him. You're pretty spoiled too, pal. A truck and a motorcycle? I shook my head at him. There are carless kids in Milwaukee and you have 2. Disgraceful, I joked.
Hey,
he laughed.
I'll have you know my truck is a hand-me-down from my dad, and that bike was my graduation present.
Oh, well, that makes it better. I grinned at him.
So, what did your dad get you?
Nothing. I smiled sadly. He didn't even stand when they called my name.
I'm sorry.
I shook my head at him.
I wish I'd paid more attention at the ceremony now. I might have remembered you from when you crossed the stage.
Yeah, that iPod is not good for you.
You already know me so well.
He smirked and rubbed my feet under the table with his, making me laugh.
Okay,
Back to work. Both of us.
Later that night, after Caleb took me home and we both parted ways to get dressed, I was on the back of his bike. This time, headed back to the place I never thought I'd go again. The high school, the gym, to be precise. I wasn't even sure why I wanted to go. If it wasn't for Beck's begging, I wasn't sure why exactly, but we were underway, so there was no point in stopping now. Caleb seemed to be excited about the idea of seeing the people I went to school with, besides Kyle and Chad, excited to see pictures of me during school functions. I'd been so out of the loop this year, out of touch with friends, out of focus. I had no idea what they were going to do tonight, but I was pretty sure it wouldn't involve me, since I'd barely been involved myself all year. We pulled into the parking lot, and he helped me take my helmet off, smoothing my hair back. I was nervous for some reason. I felt like everyone there would be able to tell that I was different somehow. We started walking towards the school, and my heart beat faster and faster the closer we got.
Hey.
He stopped in front of me.
We don't have to go in there.
I swallowed and looked around the school parking lot. There weren't a whole lot of cars because this was only for the senior class, but still, a gym full of my peers whom I abandoned for the past 10 months. He read my anxiety and started pulling me back to the bike. I halted my steps. No, it's okay. Let's go in.
You sure?
Yeah, it's stupid to be nervous anyway. It's not like anyone is going to care that I'm here. I had visions of prom, streamers and flashing lights with glittery signs when we entered. But what I got was flashbacks that made me want to simultaneously smile and run. The decorations were our school pictures. Prom pics, candids at lunch. Big, blown-up pictures lined the walls and the centerpieces on the tables were a school pom-pom and yearbook, open to the page of the people who were assigned to sit there alphabetically. I looked around at the photos as we made our way down the wall towards the tables, and laughed at one of Beck and I sitting in art last year with paint on our faces, laughing. Caleb smiled at it and let me tug and pull him as I got more enthusiastic about the photos and memories splayed out everywhere I looked. Then I heard my name across the room, and turned to see Beck and Nicolette skipping across the gym arm in arm towards us.
Mags!
Nicolette cried and squeezed me. They both squealed and bounced around me, drawing attention to us, and I cringed.
Oh, my goodness. You look so fab. Where have you been, girl?
Ahem, Beck said, grinning and pointed to Caleb. That's where she's been. Nicolette perused him openly and gave a cocked little grin before coming up to him and holding her hand out.
Nicolette!
Caleb,
he said politely, and shook her hand quickly before releasing her and coming to put an arm around my waist. Her eyes bugged a little, but she grinned all the same.
You girls ran track with Maggie?
And cheerleading and volleyball and just about everything else.
He looked down at me with a raised eyebrow. His lips parted.
Cheerleading? That totally just blew your little work outfit out of the water.
I pressed my lips together to keep from giggling.
It was only 9th and 10th grade. I did it because my mom wanted me to.
I dropped out. It wasn't for me.
And yet my fantasy lives.
I smiled and tried not to laugh, to look normal and casual, though an extremely hot guy was speaking into my mind about his fantasies. Then an enraptured mass squeal erupted as Beck and Nicolette waved. The group of girls who I used to know all swarmed around us like they hadn't seen us in years, though it had been days. Technically, I guess it had been longer for me.
Magsie, where have you been?
Oh, we missed you at the meet last month. We could have used you when the Brayers came up.
Dang, girl, you look so cute tonight.
Okay, I got it. Let's do a cheer for old time's sake.
Megan was the instigator, but everyone seemed to be on board and clapped and squealed as they made their way to the front of the room.
Mags, you too.
I turned to the traitorous voice and was shocked to find it was Beck.
I haven't cheered in 2 years, I protested and clung to Caleb's arm.
Oh, come on, we're doing the spirit cheer. It stays the same every year, it's tradition.
Come on.
No way. She had to know why I didn't want to do it. For the spirit cheer, you paired with a football player. We danced and slid around them, and at the end they lifted us in their arms. Chad was always my partner, and there was no way in hell or high water she was getting me on that stage. Go ahead, Beck. Really. I'm not going. Beck pouted but straightened up, glancing behind me warily. She bit her lip and beelined for the stage. I didn't even need to turn to know Chad was behind me. Caleb also must have known, and I felt his grip tighten on my hand. I remembered what he said about seeing Chad again, after I'd slipped and said that Chad had kinda sorta forced me to kiss him, and I felt really stupid for coming here now.
Maggie, come on. We're an uneven number without you.
He coaxed, and smiled that smile that used to make me smile too. No, thanks, you go ahead. He had the gall to reach for my unoccupied hand.
I don't think so.
Caleb said softly with clear inflection and pulled me a little closer to him. I felt protectiveness, even some possessiveness, and a flare of anger burst towards me from Caleb. He was angry at Chad for kissing me, and even angrier that he had the gumption to reach for me and pull me from Caleb, like he had the right to. I put my other hand on his arm, hoping to draw even more of his anger away. I visibly saw him take a deep breath, and was proud that he kept himself in check at least, though his anger was practically crackling in the air between them. Chad seemed to debate whether this was a fight he wanted or not. Apparently, not won out, and he shrugged, though I could see his eyes latched hurtfully to mine.
Okay, whatever. Just thought we'd have one last hurrah, you know?
Yeah, but I don't want to, okay? It's been too long. I would just make a fool of myself. You go ahead. Have fun. I soothed, feeling torn and wanting to end the squabble. He smiled sadly and nodded as he walked away. I turned to look around and saw we had quite the audience, people almost begging, eyes glistening with excitement for there to be a fight. I flushed and turned back to Caleb just as they started to do their cheer. I barely saw it as my own memories flooded me. In no time they were done, and making their way back to us in a titter of cheers and giggles. It's starting, they said us alphabetically, so we're over here. Beck said reluctantly and pulled Nicolette away. See you tomorrow night, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Tomorrow night?
Caleb asked, and I felt him push into my mind for the answer.
Yeah, sounds fun.
I just shook my head at him as we made our way to the table. Luck would have it alphabetically that Kyle was at the next table in the chair right next to ours.
Hey,
he said, grinning, and pulled me into a very intimate hug.
I didn't think you'd come.
I came with Caleb.
Oh.
He put me down and regarded Caleb with a terse nod.
Caleb? Kyle.
Caleb answered and pulled my chair out for me, turning his back on his cousin. I felt guilty about that, but didn't feel it was my place to interfere, just yet anyway. Caleb pulled the yearbook on the center of our table closer to him, and I realized it was 10th grade year. My hair was really curly that day, and I'd pulled it to the side of my neck and smiled shyly. He smiled at it and looked back at me. I rolled my eyes and took it from him. I glanced through it and laughed when Ben, sitting next to me, leaned over and pointed at a picture of him and me at a school assembly, wearing face paint and chanting. I groaned, and Caleb leaned closer to see. Ben began to tell him all about it, the way we used to paint our faces on school assembly day and wear wigs and all kinds of crazy things to make the school mad. It was a whole student body effort, and we always pulled it off. Caleb laughed and gave me a sidelong grin.
You were a bad girl, a rebel. I've been so misled.
I rolled my eyes, laughing as the lights went down, and the principal, Mr. Gurney, made his way across the stage.
Welcome, seniors, or should I say adults, for you are no longer our pupils. You are the fresh new minds of our country. I am pleased to introduce this year's farewell video. This video was put together by the yearbook staff and is quite lengthy, containing not just your senior year, but your entire school years collectively in a memoir that you can purchase at the end for a $10 donation. Now let's begin.
The huge pull-down projection screen flickered, and there I was. First picture. I groaned out loud. It was me in the sandbox on the playground, kindergarten. I was pouring a fistful of white sand onto Kyle's head. Kyle turned to grin at me in his seat and burst out laughing and clapping, as did lots of others. Each picture or video clip they showed had our names and the school year printed at the bottom. They played cheesy graduation music in the background, like Vitamin C or something. The photos kept coming. So many years summed up. I found myself laughing, sometimes quite loudly, but you couldn't hear me over everyone else. There were so many pictures, and I was in lots of them. We saw third grade field day when I ran against the principal and won. We saw fifth grade dare program, us with our red t-shirts while we all stood beside the police officers, grinning. Stephen holding Gretchen up to tack a Sadie Hawkins eighth grade dance banner to the ceiling, though if the school had paid attention to where he was looking, up her skirt, they wouldn't have put that one in there. There was one of Beck and I in 10th grade, back to back, wearing wigs and making guns with our hands, like Charlie's Angels, making everyone laugh. I buried my face in Caleb's neck and groaned as he chuckled. I thought hard, and could remember doing that, but not what it was for. Then the school mascot in full body paint, mid-air before he tripped face first over a pom-pom left on the basketball court. Then later, another one of Chad and I, working in science lab together, grinning over a beaker of green something, his arm slung over my shoulders. There was prom, dancing couples, homecoming, finals, last days, first days, Halloween, Spirit Week, so much more. Then they showed cheerleading, and I felt Caleb snap more to alert, looking for me more intently among the faces. But there were plenty of pics of me there, too, among the skirted girls, some by myself, and, to my chagrin, a lot with Chad and I. He was on the football team after all. The last cheerleading one, in slow motion, only adding to my agony, was Chad on the football field after winning a game, ripping off his helmet and holding his arms open to something off camera. Then me, barreling towards him in my cheerleading outfit, jumping into his sweaty arms and kissing him, albeit closed-mouthed, as he held me off the ground. For some reason, my eyes automatically snapped to Chad's, and he was already looking at me, longingly and sadly. I felt horribly guilty about it all and glanced at Caleb. He glanced at me, too, and smiled knowingly, shrugging like, "What are you gonna do?" "I'm sorry."
"It's in the past, Maggie."
"Yeah, but you shouldn't have to watch it."
"It's okay. I got the girl, right?"
He grinned at me and squeezed my hand in between us, making me smile. "You definitely got the girl." He put his arm around my shoulder and kissed my temple. They showed football games, basketball, volleyball, and track, plus all the sports and clubs and activities, dances, lunches. There was some of me running on the track and some warming up, some of me playing volleyball in the gym. I felt Caleb's interest in these pics was just as noticeable as the cheerleading ones had been. It was long, but felt oddly satisfying to watch. Like, maybe I had accomplished something after all. I felt like tearing up, but damned them back. As the music started to die down, they showed our procession as we marched to graduation. Some were cutting up in line, and some seemed nervous. The camera passed me, but I wasn't looking at it. Then the last frame, the money shot, the tearjerker, was a large group walking out to the parking lot afterwards. Half were still wearing their robes. Some still had on their caps. Some had their diplomas in hands. A couple had their arms around the other's shoulder as they walked into the sun, making them appear nothing but a dark silhouette against the backdrop of parking lot and football field. The caption read, "And then we walked boldly out of the sunset of our pasts and into our futures." The end. The lights came up and I saw several people wiping their eyes and laughing. Mr. Gurney made a small speech about that concluding the presentation and wishing us luck in our future, then left the stage. I was quite ready to leave, and Caleb seemed ready as well. I waved to Beck across the room, but of course she was standing with my old group, Kyle and Chad included. They both watched us go with wistful looks. I hated to have to put those looks on their faces, so I held on tight to Caleb as we made our way out. A few people and teachers said goodbye to me on the way out, but for the most part, I didn't stop. I felt good about graduating and was ready to be gone. That night at my house, I fell asleep quickly. The next day was all a fast blur as Caleb sat in the back again and tried to study. We didn't talk about the party, except him making jokes about pictures he remembered, and several funny comments about cheerleading. He didn't mention Chad, or the fact that Chad seemed to be everywhere I was back in school. We were pretty much attached, and that was the truth. But no more. I was grateful, and hoped he understood that that part of my life was behind me, and I was right where I wanted to be. In no time at all, the workday was over, and I found myself climbing on the back of his bike again and heading home. He dropped me off and released me with his words. I ran in to get ready for our double date while he went to his uncle's to do the same. After my shower, I chose my clothes, a pair of jeans and a yellow tank with my brown cardigan and light brown wedge sandals. My charm bracelet hung just under the hem of my sleeve. I left my hair down and pulled my bangs back to help tame it after the bike ride, but then I wondered what we'd drive tonight. Beck's little two-door Neon was small and uncomfortable, but we could take it if we have to. I heard the knock on the door and made my way to answer it. For once, I beat Dad. Caleb was wearing something similar to me, jeans and a brown leather jacket. His brown, shaggy hair was curling very cutely around his ears. And he had a single flower in his hand. A yellow rose. I gaped at him. "Are you trying to score points?" He just grinned as I took it and smelled the petals. "How did you know these are my favorite?" He leaned close and kissed my cheek, speaking his words against my skin.
"When you left your mind open to me, I did some digging around."
I leaned back to look at him and he was serious. "Really? I wish I'd thought to do that," I muttered.
"There will be plenty of time for that. Once we ascend, we can pretty much go all in the other's mind any time we want."
"Hmm," I hummed nervously, smelling my flower again.
"Don't worry."
He wrapped his arms around my lower back.
"I won't go poking in your head unless you want me to. And you will want me to,"
he said, low and foreboding. Before I could ask him what that meant, he took my lips gently, kissing the top, then the bottom, and sucking as he did so. I felt the temperature in the room go to uncomfortable levels. He pulled back a little to murmur against my lips.
"You look amazing."
Then he moved to skim his nose over my chin and under my ear.
"And you smell so good. What is that?"
Cherry blossom? I stuttered breathlessly. My breaths were practically non-existent. He came back to my lips and continued what he had started. His hands moved lower to my hips, right as I heard my dad clear his throat, obviously behind us. I pulled back and looked over at Dad with a guilty smile. I didn't look at Caleb at all. "Sorry, Dad." I bit my lip. "All right, I'm gonna go put this in water. We're just waiting on Beck, and then we'll be out of here." I went to the kitchen, and Dad followed me.
"Maggie, you better be careful with him."
"I am, Dad. I was just kissing. Wouldn't you rather that we did that here, at the house?" I asked as I pulled the vase from under the sink.
"Yes, I would, actually, but I think you guys are a little serious after only a week of dating."
I blew a steadying breath to stall, to give me thinking time. "Dad, he's different. He's not going to take advantage of me."
"I hope not, because I'd hate to go to prison for murder."
I laughed and went to hug him, but he wasn't amused. "Dad, I'll be okay. Caleb is a nice guy and very responsible. I promise you I won't do anything stupid, and neither will he. I'm sure he wants to stay alive and keep all his limbs intact. Okay?"
"Okay,"
he conceded with a sigh. "Okay," I agreed. "Well, let me go call Beck. She's late." When I came back to the door, I heard yelling outside. Caleb was standing in the doorway with his head cocked to the side. "What's going on?"
"Well,"
he said slowly,
"it looks like Beck and her date are here."
He looked back at me and grinned.
"And it looks like love to me."
21. I peeked over his shoulder and saw that they were fighting and yelling by the curb, right by the trash cans. I groaned. Leave it to Beck to start trouble before we've even started the date. Bye, Dad.
Bye. Be safe,
he said as he came around the corner.
We will, Mr. Masters, thanks.
Caleb assured him politely.
Call me Jim, please, Caleb.
Dad said, and extended his hand to Caleb.
Mr. Masters makes me feel old.
Caleb laughed and took his hand.
Jim, thanks. And don't worry about Maggie. I won't let anything happen to her.
Dad nodded and waved to me as we left. I slowly made my way to the curb and could hear some of what they were saying instead of just the noise of it.
Well, what do you expect? She texted you with me in the car.
Beck yelled and tapped her pointy booted foot.
Rebecca, come on. You called me just this morning to go out with you. We've been on like 4 dates. Am I supposed to delete every girl's number I have, even though I haven't heard from you in weeks?
Maybe. Just turn your phone off, at least. You didn't have to text her back.
I was telling her I was out with you.
Oh, sure, she said sarcastically and rolled her eyes, just as she saw us coming.
Hey, guys.
She jumped and grabbed Ralph's arm affectionately.
We were waiting for you. Ready to go?
I looked up at Caleb, and he looked torn between laughing out loud and smirking.
Okay,
I started. What are we driving?
I brought my uncle's car.
Caleb volunteered and jingled the keys in his hand. I looked behind Beck at the black Lexus.
See?
Beck said smartly and smirked.
Told ya, Lexus.
Great. Let's go.
Ralph said hotly and stalked to the car door. Beck looked at me and nodded her head to the side. I followed her behind the car while Caleb waited by the front passenger side door.
Can you believe him? He...
She started, but I'd already heard enough.
Beck, I know. We heard everything. You weren't exactly being quiet.
Look, please be nice and don't fight the whole time. I want to have fun.
But he texted her right in front of me.
He said it was about you. He told some other girl, a girl he might have been possibly about to go out with, but instead chose you, that he was out with you. You should be happy that he'd do that. Ralph really likes you.
What are you doing?
I asked softly.